Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. And just before the break, we were talking about the Biden administration disastrous energy policy and what the effect that is having. And we see it all over the U.S. We're out in California. Gas is over $6 a gallon. It's crazy. And I understand that we have Tom on the line. Tom, did you want to make some comment or have a question about Biden's disaster?
Good to talk with you. I'd like to ask you a question, is because I feel like you're well versed. What do you think the total debt of the United States is today?
Well, Tom, I read that just recently it went over $31 trillion. The highest, of course, that it's ever been in history. $31 trillion and growing, by the way. And if you include in that a lot of unfunded liabilities, such as having to pay for Social Security, other retirement plans, and other social programs, I understand that is closer to $80 trillion, which we can't pay back. That's impossible. So financially, we are in big trouble right now, Tom.
The reason I ask you, Mike, I don't know if you've ever heard it, but have you ever heard the term a Google, which they use that now as a number, and it's one with 100 zeros behind it, and that number is $100 trillion. And according to the economist, the total value of all the earth is $100 trillion. So just say we're $60 trillion. That means we're getting pretty close to where our debt equals the whole world. You know, Jesus said, what if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Do you suppose that's what he was talking about? And also, the rule of 72 tells you that it's what you're saying is, that debt is going to grow exponentially, not linear. So how long do you think before the debt is not the even the interest on the debt we can't pay? What I'm asking is, how long before this implodes?
Well, Tom, thanks for calling in, and I'll have to admit, I don't know the answer to that. I believe it's going to come sooner than later. Because you are absolutely right. It's unsustainable what we are seeing right now. And by the way, The Federal Reserve does not have an answer for this. They don't know what to do. They threw there, as Jim mentioned before your call, Tom, with this quantitative easing of printing this money and then buying government debt is not sustainable. That is why we're having inflation right now. And their answer for it is to raise the interest rates to try and slow down our economy. They're just groping around in the dark, hoping that something's going to happen. But what the more they fiddle with our economy, the more damage they do. What they need to do is just get out of the way and allow fair market capitalism to work its magic, which it always does. We need to abolish the Fed. They're a disaster. And instead go back to state-owned banks that compete against each other, abolish the feds, allow this economy to work the way it should, and get back on the gold standard. That was one disastrous decision that President Nixon made when he took us off the gold standard, which allowed then the government to print money like crazy. We need to rein that back in and have more fiscal responsibility. So, Tom, thank you for that call. Let's jump to another subject. And if anyone wants to join in on a conversation, the number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Did you hear about this election software CEO who was arrested over data theft and storing data on servers in China? So your first thought is to cheer about this. Hooray, finally, somebody is being held accountable for what we know was a stolen election in 2020, that there was a tremendous amount of election fraud that occurred. And so your first thought might be, at last, someone is being held accountable for this. But hold on, hold on. The article goes on to read that the head of Konik Corporation, a Michigan-based software company, which, by the way, there was a tremendous amount of fraud coming out of Michigan. Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, New Mexico. It was crazy the amount of fraud, election fraud, that we saw coming from there. But it happened in many different areas, including right here in Florida. There was election fraud in 2020 in Florida. It wasn't as pronounced and as blatant as it was in other areas, but it still occurred here. There are many organizations in Florida that have identified that, including a group that I'm associated with called Defend Florida. But at any rate, the head of the Konik Corporation, a Michigan-based software company, was arrested on October 4th for allegedly stealing, get this, storing personal data of Los Angeles County election workers on servers in China. So this CEO was stealing and storing personal data of who? Los Angeles County election workers on servers in China. So who are Los Angeles County election workers? They're all leftists. And so he was stealing their personal data and storing it on servers in China. Okay, that's wrong, and he should have been arrested for that. But note this, that this CEO wasn't arrested until he started stealing personal data of leftists. All of a sudden, they're in an uproar. And so he should have been arrested for doing that. But the bigger picture is the election fraud that we saw happen in 2020. That's why he should have been arrested. So this CEO is Eugene Yu. He's 51, was arrested in Michigan on charges of stealing the personal identifying information of Los Angeles County election workers. This is according to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. Investigators also seized computer hard drives and other digital data relevant to the case. They should have gone even broader and seized the data relevant to the election fraud that took place in 2020. So I find it, you know, first of all, justice was served. He got arrested. He should have, because you can't steal someone's personal identification, personal identity information, and then store it on servers in China. You know, first of all, why was your purpose for doing that anyway? Why would you want to steal their data and then put it on servers in China? Not quite sure why, but the bigger picture was he may have been a part of the election fraud that took place in 2020, and that is what should have been investigated. There were many private citizens who documented the election fraud that took place, including Mike Lindell. And by the way, Mike Lindell, as you all know, his cell phone was confiscated by the FBI. He is suing to get it back, which is outrageous. They had no justification for taking it. Where's your warrant for doing that? And you're violating the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, saying that we are secure from unreasonable search and seizure of our property and our papers. They took his phone, and he has to sue to get it back, which is crazy. Okay, let's transfer to another subject now. Have you heard about in Vermont that girl volleyball team who objected to changing before a man from a woman's locker room? Okay, let me start over. Vermont bans girls who object changing before a biological male from a woman's locker room as the medical association calls for prosecution of critics. Okay, so here's the story. School leaders at Randolph Union High School in Vermont recently barred the girls' volleyball team from using the women's locker room after some players objected to a biological male changing with them. Now, this male gets to have the locker room to himself, and the girls are banned from using the locker room. Didn't I tell you the left was insane? That is utterly crazy. Now, one of the female students, her name is Blake Allen, told a local news outlet, "My mom wants me to do this interview to try to make a change." A female volleyball player, Blake Allen, told the outlet, "I feel like, for stating my opinion that I don't want a biological male changing with me, that I should not have harassment charges or bullying charges. They should all be dropped." So WCAX has more of the story. Allen says that the dispute started when this boy student made an inappropriate comment while members of the volleyball team were getting changed. She says her issue is not with having a trans student on the team or the school, but specifically in a locker room. She should have an issue with that. She should have an issue with this boy who is pretending to be a girl, is on a girl volleyball team. He shouldn't be allowed on a girl volleyball team. Why don't you play with the male volleyball team? If you're not good enough, then work to get better at it. But don't just all of a sudden say, "I'm going to play on a girls' volleyball team, and that's okay." And this girl saying that she's okay with that, I think she was just trying to be, you know, politically correct, which is the problem in the first place. That boy should not be on the girls' team. But it goes even further that in Vermont, it is state law that students can play sports and use the locker room which corresponds to the gender with which they identify. Is that crazy or not? Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, the left has lost its mind. It is law in Vermont that if a boy identifies as a girl, or a girl identifies as a boy, or a grown man identifies as a woman, that they can use the restroom facilities that they want. Is that insane or what? Gender dysphoria can be treated and should be treated. These people have emotional and mental issues that should be taken care of and addressed, not accommodated. So the whole idea that these girls say, well, we're okay with him being on the volleyball team, and we're okay with him identifying as a girl. We just don't want to change in front of him, especially after he makes inappropriate comments. And then the school's response is utterly insane. What the school does is they ban these girls from the locker room, so they have to change in this one little stall, just one stall for these 10 players, and they give the entire locker room to this one boy. Why don't you switch it around? Give this boy the stall to change in and give the girls' locker room back. Or how about if the boy changes in the girls and in a boy's locker room, leave the girls alone? Or better yet, how about helping this boy understand what his sexual identity actually is and remove him from the girls' volleyball team? But that makes too much sense to the left. And so I don't know why they just don't use common sense when it comes to dealing with issues like this. Okay, here's another. Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join the conversation, the number is 904-831-0917. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. Let's switch to another issue. Let's switch to another topic. Here's an article that was written actually in January of 2022 by Jacob Fraden. And it says, why are Caucasians, white people, vanishing in TV commercials? That's an excellent question, because I've noticed that over about the past 2 years or so, that you don't see a TV commercial, complete TV commercial, with nothing but white people in it. You won't see it anymore. Now, here's what the article goes on to say. Commercials take up 27% of commercial television screen time and are the main source of income for TV and radio stations. In most cases, advertisements on all channels appear simultaneously. So don't try to change the channel. There will be commercials elsewhere too. Nowadays, they have also taken over the internet. For financial support, websites have to run ads on their pages, the largest share supplied and controlled by Google. So ads pry into your eyes, unceremoniously interfere with text and on YouTube, and in the most inappropriate places, they cut into the action of films, lectures, and concerts, tearing apart musical performances. There's no escaping commercials. Most of us have grown accustomed to them, and they become almost as much a part of our lives as food, toilets, and sleep. The article goes on to say, in the United States today, the white population, not including Hispanics, is 57.8%. So in other words, there are white Hispanics, which would make that number even higher than 57. So the white population, not including Hispanics, is 57.8%. In real life, Caucasians are still in the majority, but now on TV and the internet, they are swept under the rug. Blacks comprise 14% of the U.S. population, but appear in 50% of commercials. I think it's higher than that. But this is according to the author of this article, saying that blacks, who comprise 14% of the U.S. population, appear in 50% of commercials. White actors now appear to promote health insurance, gold, loans, and some medicines. Moreover, if a white person appears in a commercial, he, she, this is according to the author of this article, is usually old, sick, a freak, or at the very least, an appendage to a black partner. If there's a doctor on a screen, he's usually black, while the patient is usually white. Caucasian young men appear in only 4% of the commercials. Get that. Let me repeat it. White young men appear in only 4% of the commercials. So why do advertisers ignore the long-standing rules of marketing and to the detriment of their own financial interests, and fill the media space with content that displaces and degrades its biggest market share? Why is that? The author goes on to say, the answer is simple. At the heart of this nonsense is political correctness in a form even Orwell could not have foreseen. Business executives go out of their way to publicly show their conformity with the universal diversity and critical race theory, demanding that the white man be blamed for all the sins one can imagine, replacing ancient, long-vanished oppression of blacks with real oppression of whites, overcompensating and planting racism in reverse. That's what the author of this article, Jacob Frayden, says. That's why you see whites disappearing from TV commercials and all other commercials. Why? Because of their conformity, the CEOs, their conformity to universal diversity and critical race theory. Critical race theory essentially says that there is systemic racism in America being a vestige of slavery, and that because of that racism, that white people are racist, even when they don't know that they're racist, even when they're acting like they're not being racist, that they are indeed racist, and to compensate for that or overcompensate for that, then they must be subjected to this nonsense that you are racist and that you have to make up for that by allowing blacks to be racist. That's essentially what critical race theory says, that you have to be replaced by blacks, whether they're qualified or not. Or even this nonsense that Kamala Harris said after Hurricane Ian hit Florida, that they are going to help people, communities of color first before anyone else because of past discrimination that they had endured. Is that nonsense? Is that insane? I'm telling you, the left is insane. Everyone needs help after that storm has hit, not just based on your skin color. People who are black or brown did not get hit harder or worse from this storm than anybody else. Kamala Harris, you go to Florida to help everyone, not first those who are black or brown because of what you allege has happened to them in the past. I'd like to know your opinion on this. The number, if you'd like to join, is 904-831-0917. The article goes on to say, why does the white population, which is still in the majority in the U.S., accept the banishing and belittling obediently and silently? Why is there no public criticism, much less resistance to the idiocy? Why don't people tell political correctness where to go? After all, the U.S. is not Stalin, USSR. And anyone who disagrees with the party is not sent to a camp or shot. Why is there such stifling conformity among the American people, formerly known for their independence and freedom of speech? The answer is simple and sad. The reason is fear, albeit on a more vegetarian level than it was under Soviet rule. And we have a caller on the line. Looks like we have Josie. Yes, please go on with your question or your comment, please.
Hello?
Hello, yes. What is your question or comment, please?
Hello? Hey, my comment is, I'm so sick and tired as a minority myself. I'm sick and tired of the liberals playing the victimhood card. I'm less than, I'm the oppressed. Yeah, but when you're given the opportunity to help the community that they lie representing, they do the opposite. They act like totalitarians. And if you don't think like them, they accuse you of being a right winger, of being a Nazi, of being whatever and whatever. And I think that's what they use, is the playbook that they use. And sometimes I wonder, what is the need to have a black caucus, a Hispanic caucus in D.C.? I thought everybody was an American here in the United States. To me, those groups are useless. And I know you've been in office as a politician. Do you see the use or the need to have those victim, segregated black caucus and Hispanic caucus in D.C.? Because I'm fed up with these people. Thank you very much. I want to hear your take on that.
No, thank you for the call. And no, we don't need that at all. We don't need this victim mentality that we are seeing. If you note, Obama was president for two terms. Did the plight of black people change then? Did it improve? No. If you look at a lot of these Democrat-controlled cities, such as New Orleans, Philadelphia, Chicago, these are run by black mayors, black administrations, predominantly black administrations, and the black communities are doing worse in those situations. So this whole idea that all the problems experienced by the black and brown populations caused by white people is utter nonsense. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. I want to encourage you that as we go through this day, remember to praise God, give thanks to Him in all things, because despite what we see going on around us, God will stand up for His righteous people. He will protect and defend us. All we have to do is rely on and call on Him. Have a great day. Be blessed. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.